The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, November 25th through Sunday, December 1st, 2024. The commentary for November was written by Jazzy Bostock, a Conecuh Mowley Episcopal priest, farmer, wife, and foster mom. She lives and works in Waianae, Hawaii. The commentary for Monday, November 25th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verse 16b. Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. As a parent of a young child, I have to remind myself of this verse, especially, ironically, when I am in church. In church, my foster son likes to make loud noises when the service is silent, bang his cars around on the metal folding chairs, and run and laugh and cry. Well, basically, he acts the same at church as he does at home. I have to remind myself that his noises and imaginary play are beautiful things, not annoyances. He comes to church without inhibition, unafraid to be completely himself. Maybe we all need to take a cue from him. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 15 through 30. People were bringing even infants to him, that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they sternly ordered them not to do it. But Jesus called for them and said, Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. A certain ruler asked him, Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. He replied, I have kept all of these since my youth. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, There is still one thing lacking. Sell all that you own and distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. But when he heard this, he became sad, for he was very rich. Jesus looked at him and said, How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard it said, Then who can be saved? He replied, What is impossible for mortals is possible for God. Then Peter said, Look, we have left our homes and followed you. And he said to them, Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who will not get back very much more in this age and in the age to come eternal life. And the moving forward question for this Monday, November 25th, is there a parent of a young child in your congregation that you can encourage? Maybe you could sit and play with a little one during the next service, joining them in their world. Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, November 26th. It begins with a passage from Luke 18, verse 39. Those who were in front sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he shouted even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." In today's gospel lesson, a man cries out for healing, and the crowd around him, as the text tells us, sternly orders him to be quiet. Why, I wonder? Why was this man crying out for help, seeking to be healed, coming to God with all of his pain apparent, deemed so offensive to the people surrounding him? Perhaps the crowd was uncomfortable with this man's vulnerability. I wonder if his brazen cries for help made the crowds uneasy. After all, in polite society, we're supposed to take care of ourselves, answering that we're doing just fine, thank you, and bottling up all our sadness. This man dared not only to speak of his pain, but also shout it out to God. He was willing to risk being made a fool. And when the crowd hushed him, the man shouted all the louder, "I pray to have the same courage he did to try out my need for God." And now I'll read this full passage from Luke chapter 18, verses 31 through 43. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be mocked and insulted and spat upon. After they have flogged him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise again." But they understood nothing about all these things. In fact, what he said was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As he approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard a crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Then he shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who were in front sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he shouted even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, praised God. And now the moving forward question is, close your eyes and imagine that you are in a crowd as Jesus walks by. What might you call out to him? Where would you find the courage to make a noise? The commentary for Wednesday, November 27th, begins with a passage from Luke chapter 19, verse 4. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. I often read the story of Zacchaeus as if Jesus makes the first move, as if Zacchaeus is just minding his business and Jesus strolls right up to him and invites himself to dinner. But in a more careful read, I noticed this sentence: Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. Because he was too short to see above the crowd, Zacchaeus runs ahead and climbs a tree to catch sight of Jesus. Zacchaeus makes the first move. He literally moves his body to get close to Jesus. I wonder how many people move their bodies to get close to Christ by coming to our churches, for instance, and how often we judge them instead of welcoming them. Jesus shows Zacchaeus and us that as soon as we are ready to make a step toward a relationship, he will meet us there. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not see, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The moving forward question for this Wednesday is there somewhere you go to meet Christ or see him better? Take some time to go there today, even if only in your imagination. Christ will meet you there. And because we are in this holiday week, let's turn to Thursday, November 28th, which is, of course, Thanksgiving Day in the United States of America. The commentary for this day begins with the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 25a. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear." Here's the commentary for Thanksgiving. I am prone to worry. I don't do it on purpose or even consciously sometimes. My mind ticks along with to-do lists and tasks to complete, constantly thinking about something that has passed or worrying about something yet to come. Worrying is second nature to me. In this passage from Matthew, Jesus doesn't just suggest we stop worrying, but instead grounds us in the abundance God offers. He points us toward the natural world, birds and lilies, to remind us that God always provides, and maybe, just maybe, we don't have to work quite so hard to keep up with the Joneses. When I spend time in my garden, my mind slows. I don't think about the last time I washed the sheets or whether I sent an email to the church council. It's one of the few places in my life where I get to show up with whatever I have that day and just be present. I get to notice the many ways God is providing for me. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 33. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat?' or 'What will we drink?' or 'What will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. And the moving forward passage for this Thanksgiving Day, what is the one place, thing, or person that keeps you from worrying? Seek them out today. Allow yourself to rest in the knowledge that God has provided, is providing, and will always provide for you. Now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, November 29th, the day after Thanksgiving. It comes from the book of Romans in the New Testament, chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. At the end of each worship service, I have the privilege of offering a blessing to those gathered. I lift my hands and give a benediction, sometimes written for the season we are in, sometimes one of the few I have memorized. Every time I say the words, I feel a little tingle go through me. I look out to the faces gathered, ones I know and ones I don't, and I am filled with humility that I get to speak on behalf of God in this way. In sermons, I sometimes wrestle with whether I am preaching faithfully. I try hard to find some meaning for folks to carry through their days, but ultimately the theological interpretation is my own. When I get to bless others, I have no doubt God wishes to bless us and bless us and bless us. And now I'm going to read this full verse from Romans chapter 15, verses 7 through 13. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the Lord of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall have hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And for today, I'm also going to read the gospel passage from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, just say this, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, why are you untying the colt? They said, the Lord needs it. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, order your disciples to stop. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. And the moving forward question for this Friday, November 29th is, what is a blessing you might offer to someone today? Now let's turn to the commentary for Saturday, November 30th. It is the day on which we celebrate the Feast of St. Andrew. It begins with a passage from Psalm in the Old Testament, chapter 19, verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter far than honey in the comb. One of the more unusual hobbies I have is beekeeping. We have one hive right now that we are looking to split into two in the coming spring. I have learned how a bee colony sustains itself, how to identify pollen, brood, and honey, and when the hive is ready for a honey harvest. I have learned that bees do most of their work in the dark of the hive. They spin nectar into honey, create wax for their combs, and nurture one another all in darkness. The sweet work they do isn't on display but hidden from sight. So it is for us as disciples. Our work is not to be proclaimed with shouts, but done quietly as servants of God, buzzing around in service, tiny messengers leaving pollinated flowers in our wake. And now I'm going to read from Psalm 19. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Yet let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And the moving forward statement for this Saturday is, a single bee might only make 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey in its lifetime. If you have ever felt small or insignificant, consider that you don't work alone. Each of us is responsible for only the smallest piece. And now, as we near the end of our program and the end of this week, let us turn to Sunday, December 1st, which, of course, is the first Sunday of Advent. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verse 31. When you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Hope is a radical act of defiance in the face of the impossible. God breaks into our world not with strength or might or power, but with hope. Of all the things in the cosmos that God could have used, of all the magnificent power that God could have employed to get our attention, Why would God choose something as fragile as hope? Why not overwhelm humanity with displays of power and awe? History tells us that strength and power are fleeting vanities. History is littered with the ruins of authority, defeated by the radical notion of hope, because hope pitted against power always endures. The journey of hope may be long and winding, but it endures to the end. Hope comes to us in a manger and not in a mansion. As the Gospel of Luke reminds us, we have hope in the nearness of the kingdom of God. God comes to us in the frailty and helplessness of a child, because when hope spreads, when hope is shared, hope grows, and hope has the power to overwhelm the world. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 to 36. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of God. And the moving forward statement for this Sunday, as we begin this Advent journey, be on guard for hope seeping between the cracks of the armor of the world. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me for the program today. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.